Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today, on our Capitol Report, hear about a disaster relief bill signed by President Trump and the deal he cut with Democrats to get that done. We'll also have details on a Supreme Court decision upholding part of President Trump's travel ban on some, though not all, refugees. Find out who's covered and who's not on today's show. Police and firefighters in El Cajon invite you to come out this Saturday and join in a million punches from the heart. We'll tell you how you can get involved to help disadvantaged local young people on today's show. Next, we'll take you to Ramona for the sounds of the first ever Ramona Grape Stomp competition, where teams jumped in to see who could crush the most grapes as a crowd cheered them on. We'll also have news about a lawsuit filed by the University of California against the Trump administration in an effort to protect students who are dreamers, fearful of deportation under Trump's repeal of DACA or the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Now, if you never graduated from high school, we've got some good news for you today on some new scholarships for adults to get high school diplomas online through San Diego County Libraries. A 70-foot-high mural along the border fence in Tecate, visible here in East County, is drawing national news coverage, and we'll tell you why on today's show. County workers won't be going out on strike after all, thanks to a last-minute settlement hammered out between the Service Employees International Union and the county, and we'll have details. You could say the city of San Diego has gone to pot after the city council voted to approve marijuana growing and manufacturing. Learn more later on our show. Senior citizens, heads up for a fraud alert about scammers posting as Social Security employees to steal your personal information. Find out about local dams in San Diego County that are not up to modern safety standards, according to data just released by the state that we've obtained for part one of East County Magazine's special investigative report on local dam safety. Now, as we're hearing about those devastating hurricanes in the Caribbean and Florida, many of you may not be aware that a hurricane once struck San Diego's East County back in the 1970s, and it did some major damage. We'll have a look back at the havoc wrought by Hurricane Kathleen on today's show in our Sounds of History segment. We'll also take you on the road to the Desert View Tower in Jacumba, one of East County's quirkiest local landmarks. We'll have the latest Aztec sports news and an update on the hepatitis A outbreak that's led to a countywide emergency declaration, including cases here in East County. Plus, hear about new hepatitis A vaccination recommendations to stay safe amid the current outbreak. So stay tuned for all of these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
This is Gene Carpenter with a Capitol Report. President Donald Trump has signed into law H.R. 601 to provide $15.25 billion in emergency appropriations for disaster response. The measure also extends authorization of the National Flood Insurance Program through December 8th to help those impacted by disasters, including Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. The president confounded Republicans in Congress by crossing the aisle to work with Democratic leaders to pass a disaster relief bill, which also extends the nation's debt ceiling until December 8th. Conservatives have opposed raising the debt ceiling, wanting to take money from other programs instead and/or avoid further debt ceiling decisions closer to next year's elections. In the end, some Republicans joined with nearly all Democrats to pass the bill. In his signing statement, President Trump said he appreciates Congress putting aside partisan politics and acting quickly to ensure that first responders, local officials, and federal emergency management personnel have the resources they need to respond to natural disasters impacting our nation, adding that, as the damage from Hurricane Irma unfolds, it is especially important that the men and women in the Southeast and our Caribbean territories stand strong and rest assured that this administration will always put the needs of the American people above partisan politics as usual. The Trump administration has ordered an aircraft carrier to Florida, where it stands ready to provide emergency medical aid and other relief in the wake of Hurricane Irma, one of the most powerful storms ever recorded. The president has drawn praise for his swift action in response to the devastating storms, though critics say his failure to acknowledge climate change and his appointment of climate change deniers to head up the Environmental Protection Agency and NASA, which includes the National Weather Service, is blocking efforts to reverse climate change. Scientific experts have warned that warm ocean surface temperatures caused by climate change and the recent hottest years on record are fueling larger and more dangerous storms, such as the unprecedented number of severe hurricanes currently ravaging parts of the U.S., as well as islands across the Caribbean and Mexico's eastern coast. Far more aid will ultimately be needed to address needs of survivors of the hurricanes, as well as wildfires ravaging western states. The governor of Texas has estimated that damage in his state alone could reach $180 billion. The $15.25 billion approved is an important first step, however, to provide rescue and relief personnel during and immediately after these disasters.
The U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday blocked an appeals court order that would have allowed refugees to enter the U.S. if they had contractual agreements from resettlement agencies. The ban could be temporary, put in place until the justices issue a final ruling after their deliberations on the case begin in mid-October. The Supreme Court's action, taken at the request of the Trump administration, bars entry only to refugees from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen who have been approved by resettlement agencies but not yet admitted to the United States. The High Court issued the latest order without comment. Refugees from other countries are not affected. The ruling also does not affect immigrants or refugees with close family members, jobs, school enrollment, or other strong ties in the U.S., since the Trump administration dropped its objection to allowing these individuals entry after earlier court rulings against the president on those issues. The Trump administration has argued that banning refugees from countries that are hotbeds of Islamic terrorism is necessary to prevent terrorism on U.S. soil. But refugee resettlement agencies say that the U.S. already has extensive vetting procedures in place and notes that those seeking refugee status are predominantly fleeing ISIS, including some Christians as well as Muslims. How the court will ultimately rule is not yet known, but one thing that is certain is that the Supreme Court's action puts the future of many refugees fleeing terrorism, war, and starvation once again in limbo, potentially putting lives and safety at risk while these refugees await the Supreme Court's final decision. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Imagine a fire station hung with heavy punching bags while young people, community members, police, and firefighters all punch furiously for 60 seconds at a time. That's what's set to take place this Saturday, September 16th, during the Million Punches from the Heart event. It will be held from 8 a.m. to noon at Heartland Fire and Rescue Station at 100 East Lexington Avenue in El Cajon. The public is invited to help firefighters and police officers punch out racism, gang violence, and mistrust of the police. This event is organized by the ABC Youth Foundation, an after-school boxing, tutoring, and mentorship program that serves at-risk youth in the San Diego region. El Cajon Police Chief Jeff Davis, Heartland Fire Chief Colin Stowell, as well as police officers and firefighters, will all be on hand to help young people and community members. All will be pitching in, or should we say punching in, to meet that 1 million punches goal. Dr. David Miyashiro, superintendent at Cajon Valley School District, is also lending his support by bringing 100 third graders a day earlier for their own version of the event. Community members are welcome to join in on Saturday. All funds raised will support after-school programs for inner-city youths. For more information, you can visit abcyouthfoundation.org or call 619-234-2200. Reporting for East County Magazine in El Cajon, this is Valerie Watt.
Those were the sounds of the first annual Ramona Grape Stomping Competition, where teams of competitors vied to see who could crush the most grapes in 2 minutes and emerge champion. Teams chose names such as the Juicy Lucys or the Toe Jammers. One team member stomped the ripe purple grapes and the other filled a cup with juice spurting out of a spigot on a wine barrel. A grape stomp princess was also on hand to help officiate as the contestants hopped in feet first, demonstrating their stomping skills on stage as an audience cheered them on with gusto. Less competitive-spirited folks could also stomp just for fun and pose for photos at a separate stomping area. Terry Kearns from the Ramona Ranch Winery and Vineyards told us, "We're excited to see the wineries coming together to give back to our community." Hosted by the Ramona Valley Vineyards Association, Ramona Rotary Club, and Ramona Senior Center, the event benefited local community projects, including college scholarships, a senior nutrition program, the Ramona Boys and Girls Club, 4th of July fireworks, and education on this fast-growing wine region. Crowds flocked to the Ramona Outdoor Community Center Pavilion, where the activities included wine tasting from many local wineries serving up locally produced vintages, many from award-winning local vintners. Guests could enjoy foods, bid on silent auction prizes such as wine baskets and handmade Adirondack chairs, try their luck on raffle items, and shop from vendors offering everything from Western wear to wine-themed accessories such as blown glass wine stoppers and serving trays made from old wine bottles. If you missed this year's Ramona Grape Stomp, no worries. Organizers have promised to make this successful stomp an annual event, so you can come back next year and many times more in the future to stomp, shop, and sip to your heart's content. Reporting for East County Magazine from Ramona, this is Miriam Raftery.
The University of California is the latest to file a lawsuit in federal court against the Trump administration over rescinding the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA. The UC suit contends that the Trump administration wrongly and unconstitutionally violated the rights of the university and its students by rescinding the program on what the UC calls unreasoned executive whim. Trump issued an executive order this month to repeal DACA, an Obama-era executive order, but has given Congress 6 months to restore it before any young people can be deported. His action has drawn widespread criticism from immigrant rights groups, Democrats, and some prominent Republican leaders in Congress, but praise from hardline anti-immigration groups. The lawsuit filed by UC against the Department of Homeland Security and its acting secretary is the first suit by a university seeking to save DACA, which has protected 800,000 undocumented young people and allowed them to legally study, live, and work in the United States. UC President Janet Napolitano was formerly Secretary of Homeland Security, and she created the DACA program in 2012, setting in place a rigorous application and security review process. Applicants for DACA, known as Dreamers, were approved only if they were in high school or college or had graduated, or if they were in the military or had been honorably discharged as a veteran. They could not get DACA status if they had ever been convicted of a felony or major misdemeanor, or posed any threat to national security or public safety. The lawsuit asks the court to set aside the Trump administration's rollback of DACA as unconstitutional, unjust, and unlawful for expelling Dreamers, many of whom have never known any other home. The suit contends that rescinding DACA also violates the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment, as well as the Administrative Procedure Act. California is home to 200,000 Dreamers, or about a quarter of all Dreamers in the United States. The University of California is facing potential damaging loss of 4,000 undocumented students, as well as teachers, researchers, staff, and healthcare providers at UC medical facilities who are DACA recipients. Napolitano says she doesn't take lightly suing the federal government, especially the agency that she once headed up. But she believes it's imperative to stand up for vital members of the UC community who she says represent the best of who we are, hardworking, resilient, and motivated high achievers. The UC president concludes, "To arbitrarily and capriciously end the DACA program, which benefits our country as a whole, is not only unlawful, it is contrary to our national values and bad policy." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Goetz.
If you're an adult who never graduated from high school, this story is for you. San Diego supervisors have voted to significantly expand the county library's career online high school program. On Tuesday, supervisors approved funding 160 scholarships for adults who are interested in finishing high school. These scholarships allow any resident of San Diego County who is 19 years of age or older a chance to get a high school diploma. The program doesn't award general education diplomas or GEDs. Instead, students receive an actual high school diploma, which means graduates are more likely to qualify for higher education and job opportunities. Students can also work toward an entry-level career certificate in any of 8 different fields, preparing them for jobs in childcare, education, office management, trucking, security, retail, food service, and homeland security. Online high school allows students to take classes at times that are convenient to you, and if you don't have a computer or other resources at home, you can get a front-of-the-line pass to access technology at the county library. The scholarships will become available starting September 15th. In addition to the career online high school, the county's libraries now also offer adult literacy programs and an e-library of online resources. To learn more, contact your nearest San Diego County Library. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news across our border region.
A work of art along the border in Tecate, visible from San Diego's East County, is drawing national attention. French artist JR has erected a 70-foot-high mural on the Mexican side of the border fence facing the United States. Titled Kikito, it depicts a 1-year-old boy smiling impishly and peeking over the border fence at all who pass by. The artist posted on Twitter, "The history of humanity is the story of people migrating." His mural draws attention to the plight of innocent children denied entry to the U.S. or facing expulsion under President Donald Trump's tough immigration policies. The work, which took a month to complete, has been reported on in the Washington Post, New York Times, Los Angeles Times, and other major media. It's also drawn crowds locally. Photos show passerby and border patrol agents gazing up at the beguiling boy as tall as a 7-story building. On Twitter, artist JR writes, "At 1 year old, you don't see the frontier or which side is better. For this kid, there are no walls or borders." The art installation comes as prototype of a solid border wall aimed at beefing up border security are set to be built in San Diego's Otay Mesa, with plans to ultimately obstruct the entire U.S. border. Trump has also stepped up detentions and deportations of undocumented immigrants, as well as announcing the end of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA. So unless Congress takes action in 6 months, dreamers, brought here as children or infants, can soon be deported. JR hopes his artwork can change hearts and minds. He believes that views on immigration are all a matter of perspective, adding, "What you see can change who you are." His artwork is also drawing praise on Twitter, including a woman who called it beautiful and soul-inspiring, adding that the artwork rises above the wall in more ways than one. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Jonathan Getz.
Service Employees International Union, which represents 10,000 San Diego County employees, announced Saturday that it has reached agreement on a new contract that will avert a potential strike. The action came just days before a threatened strike was set to commence. David Garcias, president of the union locally, says, "We now have an agreement that helps us to close the wage gap for critical public servants like nurses and social workers, which is an essential step in alleviating chronic staff turnover and significant short staffing of services to vulnerable residents of San Diego." He added, "We are confident that these are the best terms we could get at this time, but at the same time, we are disappointed that the Board of Supervisors blocked more substantial changes." Workers will receive wage increases totaling between 13 and 17%, plus bonuses totaling $5,250 over a 5-year period, as well as increased health benefits. The agreement, ratified this week by union members, must still be approved by the Board of Supervisors. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego City Council has voted 6-3 in favor of legalizing marijuana growing, manufacturing, and testing operations to supply storefronts selling both medical and recreational pot products. Police Chief Shelley Zimmerman strongly opposed the action, testifying that the 11 medical marijuana dispensaries currently operating legally in the city have generated 272 calls to police for help due to crimes that include robbery, burglary, assaults, and shootings over the last 3 years. She said that officials from Colorado, the first state to legalize marijuana, quote, flat out told our team the revenue was just not worth these costs. But the council majority contended that having a legal market would not only generate substantial tax revenues and create jobs, but also prevent unregulated goods that could threaten safety of users. Council members David Alvarez, Barbara Bree, Myrtle Cole, Georgette Gomez, Mark Kersey, and Chris Ward voted in favor, while council members Chris Kate, Scott Sherman, and Lori Zaff voted against the measure. San Diego joins the cities of La Mesa and Lemon Grove in legalizing marijuana dispensaries, though La Mesa is limited to medical marijuana only. In both La Mesa and Lemon Grove, voters approved legalization after council previously voted against it. Thus far, no other jurisdictions have approved cultivation locally. San Diego supervisors, by contrast, recently voted against cultivation, manufacturing, or sale, and even voted to phase out the county's only legally licensed medical marijuana facilities. Voters last November approved Proposition 64, which legalized recreational marijuana, but requires approval of local jurisdictions for commercial sale, cultivation, or manufacturing. Individual households may grow up to 6 plants, but larger operations are not allowed without local government authorization. San Diego City Council also will consider 3 additional regulations for the future: relaxing rules on marijuana deliveries, assuring that cannabis businesses comply with labor laws, and addressing odors wafting forth from marijuana facilities. The new laws will roll out in January of next year, when California's new state law goes into effect. One wild card in the equation is whether the federal government may intervene in states that have legalized marijuana, since it remains illegal under federal law. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Goetz.
Scammers posing as Social Security employees are calling people and trying to con them into giving out personal information that can be used for identity theft, the American Association of Retired Persons, or AARP, warns. The swindlers claim that recipients are due a cost-of-living increase in their Social Security benefits, then ask for personal information that could be used to rip off your Social Security payments by changing your address or account information. Consumers are advised not to provide any personal information to callers claiming to be from the Social Security office. Suspicious calls should be reported to the Office of the Inspector General at 1-800-269-0271. That's 1-800-269-0271, or at the Office of the Inspector General's website. For questions, you can call the Social Security Administration at 1-800-772-1213. That's 1-800-772-1213. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
This is Valerie Watts with a special report from East County Magazine in part one of our investigation into local dam safety. The state of California has released data on dam safety in California, which found that 9% of dams statewide fall below satisfactory and could pose potential hazards in severe storms or earthquakes, including 9 dams in San Diego County. The data, previously kept secret due to terrorism concerns, was disclosed after the Oroville Dam spillway failure triggered concerns raised by the public and media, including East County Magazine, which recently put in a request for dam safety data in San Diego. East County Magazine has obtained that data and is the first media outlet to analyze the risks of local dams. A state report revealed that of 54 dams in San Diego County, 9 are listed in only fair condition and the rest are in satisfactory, the highest rating. No local dams were ranked poor or unsatisfactory. Fair is not a passing grade, however, when it comes to dams. Fair means the dams are likely to hold up under normal capacity, but could have serious problems in an earthquake or with excessive precipitation. The dams rated as fair locally are at Lake Barrett, El Capitan Reservoir in Lakeside, Lake Hodges, Lake Morena in Campo, Mount Woodson in Ramona, Lake Murray in East San Diego, Savage Dam at Otay, Sweetwater Main Dam in Bonita, and Lake Wolford in Escondido. Of those 9 dams listed in fair condition locally, 8 also have downstream hazards rated extremely high, meaning considerable loss of human life and property is likely. The extremely high risk classification is given to dams that may impact highly populated areas or critical infrastructure, or that have short evacuation times. The 9th local dam, Mount Woodson, has a high downstream hazard. 4 of the local dams are listed as receiving additional spillway evaluation. They are El Capitan, Lake Hodges, Morena, and Savage dams. Statewide, 94 dams are on the additional spillway evaluation list. Some of the dams with a fair rating have reservoirs that have been mostly drained by the City of San Diego to meet its water supply needs, such as Morena and Barrett, at 8% and 36% capacity currently, according to records from the City of San Diego. 6 years of drought also drained down water through evaporation, though heavy winter rains partially replenished water levels. Some are nearly full, such as Lake Murray at 89%, while others, such as El Capitan at 37% capacity, are far from full. But even when a reservoir is only partially filled, an earthquake could pose risk to those downstream in some areas if a dam were to rupture. More extreme storms due to climate change could also heighten risks from in the past. Most of these dams with potential problems locally are owned by the City of San Diego. Mount Woodson is owned by Ramona Municipal Water District, Sweetwater, Maine by the Sweetwater Authority, and Lake Wolford by the City of Escondido. 10 News ran a story on the $7.5 million upgrades at Sweetwater, a concrete dam built in 1888 and recently deemed unsafe. The Sweetwater Dam is 112 feet high and 700 feet wide. Of greatest concern in East County is the El Capitan Dam in Lakeside, a hydraulic fill dam made of rocks built in 1934. This dam is even bigger at 237 feet tall and 1,170 feet wide, and it no longer meets state standards. The El Capitan Dam is capable of storing 113,000 acre-feet of water. Lying in its path, according to a recent San Diego Union-Tribune report, are heavily populated areas including 4 elementary schools, 3 high schools, and 2 convalescent homes. If a flood of water were to break through or overflow from El Capitan, it could also wipe out the Las Colinas Jail in Santee before flowing to Qualcomm Stadium and inundating Mission Valley, Old Town, the Mission Bay area, and major thoroughfares including Interstates 5, 805, and 163. East County Magazine has requested additional information on the 9 local dams that failed to receive satisfactory ratings, including the 4 slated for spillway evaluations, to learn why they did not pass muster, and find out what steps are planned to make them safer to protect tens of thousands of people living, working, or going to school downstream from these potentially dangerous dams.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show. If you would like to be the media, here's your opportunity. We're looking for some more talented volunteers for our East County Magazine radio show. So if you've got radio experience or just a great voice, or if you'd like to get experience writing scripts or special reports for the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 619-698-7617 or send an email to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We're your community media, bringing you news from our region that reflects the public interest, not special interests.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, Get trained to be a citizen journalist and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Valerie Watts
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County includes the Alley Cat Art Walk in El Cajon, Julian's Music Festival, a Sirens Crush Concert in El Cajon, the Lemon Grove Lions Salsa Fiesta, a Latino Film Festival at Grossmont and Cuyamaca Colleges, and an International Day of Peace Rally in La Mesa.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including Julian Apple Days, Apple Tea Time, Bamboozled, Oktoberfest in La Mesa and El Cajon, Laguna Mountain Rendezvous, Kids Care Fest, Haunt Fest on Main, Borrego Days, a Haunted Lodge in El Cajon, a new Halloween Harvest Family Festival on Mount Helix, and the annual spooky camp over at Lions, Tigers, and Bears in Alpine.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
You're invited to the Alley Cat Art Walk on September 15th from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Guests can enjoy visiting local galleries, also savoring food and drinks, plus live bluegrass and jazz music in the alley between Rhea Avenue and East Main Street in downtown El Cajon. Arts and crafts vendors will have displays and products for sale, and guests can win prizes. Proceeds benefit St. Madeline Sophie's Center, which assists developmentally disabled adults. For more information, you can visit stmsc.org.
The Julian Music Festival celebrates the end of summer on September 16th at the Mangini Winery in Julian from 1 to 7 p.m. The festival features Americana, pop rock, Latin jazz, adult contemporary, folk, Celtic music, and more. Tickets are required and are available at julianmusicfestival.com.
El Cajon's Dinner and a Concert series continues each Friday night through September at Promenade Park. You're invited to bring a picnic dinner or arrive early and dine at one of downtown El Cajon's restaurants before enjoying outdoor concerts from 6 to 8 p.m. Upcoming artists include Sirens Crush on September 15th, The Petty Breakers on September 22nd, and on September 29th, the season finale with the Mighty Untouchables. For full details, visit downtownelcajon.com.
Grossmont College will host a Latino Film Festival each Tuesday night at 7 p.m. from September 19th through October 19th. For a schedule of films exploring Latino history, you can check the calendar at eastcountymagazine.org.
The Lemon Grove Lions Club is hosting a Salsa y Salsa Fiesta on September 16th from 6 to 9 p.m. to raise money to buy new bleachers for Lemon Grove Little League. The event will be held at the Monte Vista Auditorium in Lemon Grove. There will be salsa tasting and salsa dancing, as well as a taco cart, drinks, raffle, and silent auction prizes. Lemon Grove Mayor Pro Tem Jennifer Mendoza said the bleachers have safety concerns, adding, "Lemon Grove is one of the poorest communities in San Diego, so the Lions adopted the Little League to help out these young athletes and their families." Contact Jennifer Mendoza LG at gmail.com for tickets or to enter the salsa tasting contest.
The Interfaith Council of La Mesa invites the public to join millions of people around the world participating in activities to celebrate the United Nations International Day of Peace on September 17th. The La Mesa event will be held starting at 3 p.m. in Aztec Park. A program will feature speakers from various faiths and traditions, as well as music. Over 20 peace-promoting organizations will be represented. Bring a chair or blanket to sit on as you embrace peace with people around the world. For more information, you can visit interfaithlamesa.org.
Now for a preview of coming attractions. If you love apples, the Julian Apple Days Festival on September 23rd and 24th is the place to be. Located at Mangini Winery in historic Julian, the event features Julian's famous apple pie, gold panning demonstrations, a falconry performance, live music and dancing, an antique tractor display, children's games and activities, a beer and wine garden, food and merchandise vendors, contests, and more. This festival harkens back to the early 1900s, when Julian won a prestigious award from an apple growers association and began a fall Apple Day festival. The town now has a 2-month-long Apple Day celebration, culminating with the Apple Festival and the coronation of Mr. and Mrs. Apple Days. You can learn more at visitjulian.com and click on the calendar of events to find details on the Apple Days Festival and many more fall festivities.
As the days start to shorten and the mountain air turns nippy, our thoughts drift to warm drinks and apples, and then to Julian. Now you can indulge during the season with an apple-themed tea at Julian Tea and Cottage Arts. From September 21st through the 25th, they are offering an apple-themed menu highlighting that Julian specialty. Tucked away a block from the busy main street in a historical home, their special tea features Hungarian apple soup, apple-themed finger sandwiches, scones with apple butter, an apple dessert, and of course, fine teas. Vegetarian and gluten-free options are available with advance notice. Seatings are at 11:30 a.m., 1 p.m., and 2:30 p.m. For a menu and reservations, you can visit julientea.com.
Kids Dance Company, the acclaimed children's dance troupe based in La Mesa, presents Bamboozled at the San Diego Performing Arts Center on September 22nd and 23rd at 7 p.m. Bamboozled is a celebration of love and all it encompasses, from sorrow and acceptance to family and human friendship. The show's numbers range from a celebration of Elton John's works to Psalms for the Children of Syria, also including a fast-paced dance titled Tunisian Nights and Shimmy Sam, an upbeat tap number that just may have you dancing in your seats. For tickets to Bamboozled, you can visit visionarydancetheater.org.
Celebrating its 44th year, the popular La Mesa Oktoberfest will run from Friday, September 29th through Sunday, October 1st, bringing 3 days of Prost or cheer. In addition to live German music and other entertainment, many vendors and crafts, you can also enjoy a beer garden serving up German and craft beers, plus, new this year, craft cocktails. For more information, you can visit lamesaoktoberfest.org.
The German-American Club of San Diego hosts its annual Oktoberfest at its headquarters in El Cajon over 2 weekends, September 29th through October 1st, and again October 6th through 8th. You can feast on authentic German fare, from roast ox on a spit to German pancakes, sauerkraut, and bratwurst. A German band flown in from Bavaria will perform German music ranging from polkas and waltzes to beer-drinking songs. You'll also find vendors selling a variety of crafts. For details, you can visit GermanClubSanDiego.org.
Step back in time to a fur trading and colonial camp from the 1700s to 1840s at the Laguna Mountain Rendezvous. This event takes place October 13th through the 22nd at the Maraguay Scout Reservation in Santa Isabel. You can see demonstrations of survival skills such as cooking, archery, tomahawk throwing, black powder shooting, and tool making. For more information, you can visit the Laguna Mountain Rendezvous page on Facebook.
Grossmont Healthcare District presents Kids Care Fest on Saturday, October 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Lakeside Rodeo Grounds. This event will offer potentially life-saving healthcare screenings, as well as dental and vision screenings, as well as safety demonstrations, flu shots, blood pressure and cholesterol checks, health information, plus fun activities such as pony rides and a rock climbing wall. For details, visit kidscarefest.org.
The 6th annual Haunt Fest on Main will be held October 20th from 5 to 10 p.m. in downtown El Cajon. This fun, family-friendly, Halloween-themed event features live music on the promenade stage, including the stand-up guys from 5 to 7:15, and the amazing 80s All-Stars from 7:45 to 10 p.m. This event also features costume contests on the Main Street stage, carnival rides, crafts, games, car show, a candy trail, kids zone with outdoor movies, face painting, inflatables for kids, pumpkin patch, Ghostbusters, and more. This event is presented by the City of El Cajon and the Downtown El Cajon Business Partners. For more information, you can visit hauntfest.org or call 619-441-1754.
The 52nd Annual Borrego Days Desert Festival kicks off Saturday, October 21st from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and continues through Sunday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Borrego Days Parade steps off at 10 a.m. on Saturday, October 21st along Palm Canyon Drive and Christmas Circle in Borrego Springs, complete with pre-parade flyover, floats, marching bands, and trick-riding Western Cowboys. Borrego Days also includes arts and crafts and a carnival fun zone for kids both days, plus live music for Dancing Under the Stars on Saturday night. For more information, you can visit borregodays.com.
The El Cajon Elks Lodge 1812 is teaming up with the local haunted house production company Scare Ventures to present a haunted lodge for the community in their parking lot from October 26th through the 31st. This will be one of the only haunted houses in San Diego's East County. The haunted lodge will feature a maze and four different key scare areas for guests to experience, plus activities and booths. There will also be early evening hours set aside for children under 12 to experience a less scary version of the haunted lodge that is family-friendly for youngsters, where they will be treated to Halloween candy from nicer monsters they encounter as part of their tour through the lodge maze. The Elks, who have been serving the community for 60 years, will donate 100% of the proceeds from the event to children's charities. The lodge is located at 1500 East Washington Avenue in El Cajon. You can purchase advance tickets at elcajonelks.com.
The Mount Helix Park Foundation and Grossmont Mount Helix Improvement Association are joining together for a fun-filled Halloween Harvest Family Festival at the top of Mount Helix Park for neighborhood families on Sunday, October 29th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. A costume parade for kids, live music by Lenny and the Lounge Lizards, plus booths from local businesses offering crafts, games, and treats will all be part of this fall festival. Park at the San Miguel Fire Station on Vivera to take a free shuttle to the top of Mount Helix. For more information on the event, visit mounthelixpark.org.
Lions, Tigers, and Bears in Alpine will host its annual spooky campover from 3 p.m. Friday, October 27th until noon on October 28th. Bring your own pumpkin to carve, food, camping gear, and best costume. This event promises a wild and ghoulish night under the stars with the rescued animals. There will be pumpkin carving, s'mores, campfire songs, a costume contest, and animal feedings. For ticket prices and reservations, visit lionstigersandbears.org. All proceeds benefit the nonprofit facility's work to rescue exotic animals and provide a permanent home for them.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County. See you around East County!
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the mountains to the sea.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show. If you would like to be the media, here's your opportunity. We're looking for some more talented volunteers for our East County Magazine radio show. So if you've got radio experience or just a great voice, or if you'd like to get experience writing scripts or special reports for the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 619-698-7617 or send an email to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We're your community media, bringing you news from our region that reflects the public interest, not special interests.
This is Helen Ofield from the Lemon Grove Historical Society, bringing you the sounds of history.
This is Miriam Raftery, guest hosting the Sounds of History on East County Magazine show on KNSJ. Now, if you think this week's storms were severe, just listen to this. Back in 1976,
Hurricane Kathleen struck our region, the most powerful tropical cyclone ever to hit San Diego and Imperial counties. With winds up to 90 miles an hour, Hurricane Kathleen dropped a foot of water on Mount Laguna and sent a wall of water 10 feet high and 40 feet wide rushing through the town of Ocotillo in neighboring Imperial Valley, destroying over 70% of the town. Another wave a mile high and 2.5 feet wide swept through Jacumba, demolishing a farmhouse there. The San Diego Union-Tribune said of the Ocotillo nightmare, there was no warning, just a sudden roar. The powerful storm killed 13 people in California and Mexico. It also washed out Interstate 8, crumbling the freeway and destroying a bridge at Meyer Creek, where a 600-foot-wide section of the freeway was wiped out, leaving a gully in its place about 40 feet deep. Eldo Sanders jumped in his truck to try and save people stranded in Painted Gorge out in Imperial Valley after hearing a call for help on his Citizens Band radio. He never made it. His truck was found overturned in mud, and his body was later found buried in a mud bank. Another resident of Ocotillo, John Patrick Riley, refused to evacuate his home. Rescuers from the Ocotillo Volunteer Fire Department found the 63-year-old man's body inside his home, which had flooded. An El Centro resident, William Mina, is believed to have died when his vehicle was swept off the Meyer Creek Bridge on Interstate 8 by a towering wall of water. Flooding and mudslides destroyed 3 bridges on the San Diego-Arizona Eastern Railway, ultimately leading to abandonment of that railway line. It smashed airplanes at desert airports and turned one plane on its nose in Yuma. A Salton Sea Resort area, Bombay Beach, was completely underwater. Authorities began referring to it as a lake. Most of the 14 cities in Imperial County were utterly inundated. Sheriff's deputies and the Navy airlifted residents out of areas west of El Centro, including an elderly woman trapped when water overflowed her bed. She was saved by sheriff deputies in a flatboat. In San Diego, the storm shut down a Padres game. Out in Imperial Valley, farmers suffered when at least 10,000 acres of sugar beets were wiped out along with many other crops. All routes out of Imperial County except for State Route 111 were shut down all at one time. 80 families were left homeless in Mexicali, and roofs blew off homes 600 miles south of San Diego. Hundreds of homes were destroyed across the region by the powerful storm, which caused $160 million in damage, ranking as one of the worst storms in California history. Alan Zangheim grew up on a ranch in Imperial Valley, and he recalls the flash flood that raced across the desert floor on September 9, 1976. The next morning, he remembers going outside with his dad, believing that the storm had passed. And then, he writes on his website, "We kept noticing some sunlight reflecting off the San Diego Mountains out towards the west. It was like a sparkle. My dad thought it was peculiar, and he said it looks like water. And we listened to the radio shortly thereafter and heard the flash flood warnings. My mom was scared and pretty insistent that we vacate the ranch, and we did. We returned to find out the next morning that a wall of water approximately 10 feet high swept across the Imperial Valley desert floor, wiping out the town of Ocotillo and killing some motorists who were unfortunate enough to be on Interstate 8 at the time the water came through. When we returned to our ranch, it was under 3 feet of water, and my dad's crops were ruined. It was due to this catastrophic incident that we sold our ranch and moved to the San Diego area," Zangheim recalls. He warns that due to the unique geography of Ocotillo, which sits on an alluvial fan below sea level, the same unfortunate events could very well happen again. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Liz Alpin with an Aztecs football report. Rashad Penny accounted for 353 all-purpose yards and scored 3 different ways, leading San Diego State to a convincing 30-20 victory over Arizona State last Saturday night. The run-heavy Aztecs rolled over the Sun Devils from the start, with Penny bursting through for a 95-yard touchdown run in the first quarter. Penny added a 99-yard kickoff return first quarter and a 33-yard touchdown reception to help San Diego State win for the first time in 12 tries against Arizona State. He had 216 yards rushing on 18 carries. The Sun Devils suffered one of their ugliest losses in 6 seasons under Coach Todd Graham, plagued by defensive lapses, missed assignments on offense, and a dropped touchdown pass by John Humphrey. Penny had 178 yards by halftime, helping the Aztecs to a 20-14 lead. The Sun Devils gave up another big play in the third quarter to fall behind 27-14. Faced with a 3rd and 21, The Aztecs caught Arizona State in bad coverage, and Petty had to make just one move on the pass out of the backfield to score on a 33-yard touchdown. Arizona State managed 27 yards of offense in the third quarter, but converted a 3rd and 37 into a 53-yard touchdown catch by Frank Darby early in the fourth. The two-point conversion failed, leaving the Sun Devils down 30-20. San Diego State takes on its second Pac-12 opponent in as many games when it hosts Stanford on Saturday, September 16th. Kickoff is set for 7:30 p.m.
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
This is Hayden Parsley, on the road in Hacumba Hot Springs for East County Magazine. You can take a trip into California's past at the Desert View Tower, a quirky and whimsical relic of the past that is still open to the public here in San Diego's East County. Located just off Interstate 8 at the Incapa exit, the tower is poised on a rocky overlook surrounded by desert on all sides. Built in the 1920s by Bert Vaughn, a real estate tycoon who owned much of Hacumba, this 70-foot watchtower has become a tourist attraction and a local landmark on the outskirts of the small town known as Hacumba Hot Springs. Originally built to commemorate the area's rough pre-highway history, the tower houses a small museum filled with artifacts and oddities of California's history, including our region's Native American, Spanish, and pioneer past. The top floor of the tower is an observation deck, with a coin-fed telescope that provides a breathtaking view of Imperial Valley and the Anza Borrego Desert, though now somewhat marred by a wind farm. In 1950, a gift shop was added around the base of the tower. The shop still operates today and is filled with an eclectic mix of items such as geodes, gems and minerals, vintage postcards, historic and travel books on our region, arts and crafts items such as handmade Tecate tiles, onyx bookends, musical instruments, carved animal sculptures, and more. Roaming this area of the tower are the owner's many friendly dogs that add to the rustic charm of the location. You can also get a workout pumping a player piano while listening to old-time tunes. While I was there, the wind was gusting. It was a bit chilly and I wished I had a better coat when I reached the top. The owner says this is atypical though, and that it is warm and sunny most days. The proprietor, Ben Schultz, has many colorful stories on East County's history, culture, and colorful characters, having operated the site for many years. Boulder Park at the Desert View Tower was created in 1933 by an unemployed engineer, Merle Ratcliffe, who was out of work during the Great Depression. He sculpted reptiles and fanciful animals out of the huge stone boulders. I didn't get a chance to tour these, which will be an adventure for another time.
The county has declared a hepatitis A emergency after an outbreak locally has killed 15 people and hospitalized hundreds more. 70% of those cases are in homeless people or illicit drug users. Since El Cajon also has a high homeless population, East County contacted the city of El Cajon to ask if the hepatitis outbreak has spread to the East County community. Councilman Gary Kendrick has advised us the county has identified that some of these cases have been within the city of El Cajon. The two most effective ways to prevent spread of hepatitis A are vaccines and improved sanitation. The county is working to vaccinate high-risk populations such as homeless individuals and drug users, and is also recommending vaccines for food handlers, healthcare workers, social workers, and others in contact with high-risk individuals. At a meeting between El Cajon city staff and county officials on August 29th, the county requested to put one or more hand-washing stations in El Cajon. Several possible locations were discussed. The county will pay for a station at a parking lot east of Prescott Promenade downtown and may also add a station on county property near the library. The county has also ordered hand-washing stations in the city of San Diego, which the county has criticized for failing to provide proper sanitation for its large homeless population. Now the county has hired a contractor to power wash streets in the city of San Diego to help stop spread of the disease. The outbreak shows that providing help for homeless people is not only a humanitarian issue, but also a public health concern. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
This is John Fistier with a health report. The County of San Diego has issued new guidelines for hepatitis A vaccines amid an outbreak that has claimed 14 lives and hospitalized 264 people locally. A total of 352 cases have been reported in the current outbreak. About 70% of the hepatitis cases locally have been among people who are homeless, use illegal drugs, or both. The other 30% of cases are among people who don't fall into those categories. The county has been increasing efforts to vaccinate these target populations, as well as those who come into contact with them. Now, the county's public health officer has issued recommendations that people who handle food get a vaccination for hepatitis A. County Public Health Officer Dr. Wilma Wooten says, "This is a proactive recommendation because the ongoing outbreak means that the risk to the general public is higher than normal. A person who becomes infected with hepatitis A may spread the disease to others before experiencing symptoms. In an occupation such as handling food, workers may expose more members of the public than workers in other occupations," Dr. Wooten adds. No common sources of food, beverage, or drugs have been identified that have contributed to this outbreak, although the investigation is continuing. Food handlers can get the vaccination from their occupational health care provider, or a local pharmacy that carries the vaccine. A prescription is not needed to get the vaccination. The vaccine is also available to uninsured or underinsured individuals for no cost at all county public health centers. For a list of locations, you can call 211. The vaccine recommendation has also been expanded to those who work in health care, in addition to prior recommendations for those who work in public safety, sanitation, homeless shelters, and behavioral and homeless service providers. County health workers are working to increase outreach to educate people at risk of getting hepatitis A. Homeless service providers, treatment providers, faith-based community organizations, and the Regional Task Force on Homelessness are all helping notify high-risk individuals about the outbreak. Ads encouraging people to get the hepatitis A vaccine have been placed in metro transit buses, trolleys, and stops. Hospital emergency rooms, community health clinics, and county jails are all helping to administer vaccines. Food teams are also getting out into the streets to offer vaccinations to homeless people. Hepatitis A can cause jaundice or yellowing of the skin and eyes, as well as fever, fatigue, appetite loss, nausea, and digestive tract symptoms. In severe cases, liver failure and death may occur. In addition to the vaccine, hepatitis A can also be prevented through good hygiene. County officials recommend that you never share food, drinks, or smoking materials with other people. Don't directly touch a door handle when exiting a public restroom. Always wash your hands for at least 20 seconds with soap and running water after using the restroom and before eating. 20 seconds is about the length of time it takes to sing Happy Birthday twice.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the mountains to the sea.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Liz Alper, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Pond 5. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.